This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
Ned O'Carroll, editor of the Journal, has just walked into the studio to bring us up to speed on some of the stories that you may not have seen or yet heard in detail, starting with the arrest of Martina and Amy Burke, who have been arrested at Castlereagh Prison over their contempt ruling. This is following what was described as intense and venomous interruptions at a hearing of a case pertaining to their brother and son, Enoch Burke. They are now on their way to jail.
Yeah, listeners might feel a sense of deja vu, but this contempt order was made previously after the behaviours that you outlined there occurred in court on February 20th, but Gardaí had not been able to basically arrest them. They had gone to their house and hadn't been able to locate Martina and Amy. They did so in Castlereagh Prison. Enoch is there and he was due for a visit. Someone else was due to visit him, but the sister and mother turned up. So
now, I have no experience of being wanted by the law, but I would have thought that if you wanted not to get arrested, going to Castlereagh Prison was probably not a wise choice.
Yeah, but most people won't remember how long this is going on because Enoch Burke has become a household name in Ireland. But August 2022, we are now in March 2026, to state the bleeding obvious.
We're knocking on 4 years of this.
Yes. So Justice Cregan, when he was, making the order for contempt, said there had been a lot of forbearance by the court and the Irish public, I would also argue, for these kind of behaviours. And we have heard from judges in the recent past that these types of behaviours, it's not just the Burkes. There's a lot of this happening in the courts. And we outlined it in an investigation recently in the Journal. Justice Cregan said their behaviour was paradigmatic of what is happening across the board. So the contempt order, he had said, was justified in this case, that he couldn't finish the hearing on February 20th, and that the roaring and shouting meant that he couldn't even hear himself give the orders.
And what the strange thing is how over that 4 year period, it hasn't been that gradually the judiciary has succeeded, or the judicial system has succeeded in chipping away at the behaviour. It has actually amplified it. We went from a disciplinary procedure to a quasi-dismissal, to the first contempt, to repeated contempts, to jailing, to hundreds of thousands of fines. Now the family are involved. It seems to be a seven-headed hydra that is just going to grow and grow.
Yeah, it's a really troubling problem for the system when the system doesn't work against the people who are within it. And it just has a mushroom effect then, like every time that there is a sitting that includes a member of the family, 10 Gardaí are present because they know there may be a disturbance of some sort, which obviously adds to the circus that is around the whole thing.
We'll be getting a legal view on it a little later on as to what, if anything, can be done when you find yourself in this feedback loop. Let us move on then. Late buses and trains behind the majority of passenger complaints about public transport services.
This is a huge number of complaints that have been made by Dublin Bus, Bus Éireann and Irish Rail in not even a full year. From March 1st to December 31st last year, 61,000 complaints were made about the three companies.
61,000?
Yeah. It's a really significant number. Of those complaints, then, the 39% were about punctuality. One in four were concerned driver behaviour, but mostly it was about buses not coming and trains not coming when they were meant to come. And obviously a commute is such a huge part of people's lives. I think we talk a lot about working from home, forgetting
61,000.
I know, I'm like, there's obviously very easy accessible complaint forms, because
I would argue the opposite. I was in a queue in bus hours yesterday for a bus, Erin bus, and we just got told, quotes, driver can't drive that one, and he left. So 20 minutes. Now, nobody in the queue went, I'll complain. We just went, oh, what are you going to do? And you waited and you got the next thing. So if 61,000 people went to the trouble of complaining, how many have unexpressed complaints?
Someone probably got on a bus and sat there in traffic for a while and said, you know what, I'm going to take out my phone and email or complain to somebody. But yeah, the commute is such a part. I think we always forget, because we talk about working from home and, you know, people have non-office days. There's a significant percentage of the population who that is just not an option for. They're working in jobs where they have to physically be in a location that is not their house. They rely on the public transport, as well as the people who are being brought back into offices. Simon Tierney had a really interesting piece in The Examiner this week, saying that he was embracing the commute. He was, you know, it's part of his life. He's just he's getting on with it. He's trying to make the most of it. He has either a bus book or a bus film. Sounds delightful. He's like, I'm going to take this time to myself. He's trying not to be condescending about it. He's like, look, I have small kids. I have a busy schedule. It's time to myself. I embrace it. And that's a really nice message. But you know what you need for a bus book or a bus film?
A bus.
Exactly. If we get that right, I think we can start talking about what to do on the bus to make it part of a daily routine that is more healthy and less miserable. But this is the kind of thing with Bus Connects that we just need to get fewer cars on the road and more people into buses that actually work. And
not start on ghost buses.
Let's
not open those floodgates. Now, interesting issue about teachers warning in respect of the Leaving Cert, challenges in relation to AI. Now, this is something that's going to obviously be close to home for you in journalism, because we've seen recent cases of where it has caused significant problems for senior journalists. Problem in terms of, how do you judge if a student is giving you real stuff or feeding you AI slop?
Yeah, so the ASTI are meeting next week and this is on their agenda. There's kind of two issues. There's the general issue of AI, but then there's also additional assessment components are coming into the senior cycle, into the Leaving Cert. There's four subjects. The teachers are worried. The teachers of these subjects are really dissatisfied. Like 82 and 83% said they're either dissatisfied or very dissatisfied with allocating 40% of marks in biology, chemistry, business and physics, which is an extremely high number of teachers who do not, because we have kind of for years been talking about having to redo the model of Leaving Cert exams, but they're kind of using the same arguments about consistent marking. They're saying, like, it actually bakes in the inequality, because obviously wealthier households are able to, you know, over a longer period.
Maybe I'm missing something, but you would have thought in the age of AI, having an anonymized system where it is absolutely controlled and it is equal across the board and it's a one hit and there you go, you can do it. There's a lot to be said for it.
Yeah, it feels like we are going to have to kind of regress into that system and try and tweak that rather than continue this, because obviously with the AI, they're saying, like, people can use these language models to put something together and then tweak it so then none of the detectors actually work. And then also we know ourselves that the detectors aren't as good as the language models.
And the models are getting better and better all the time, exponentially.
New York Times yesterday cut ties, or the day before yesterday cut ties with a freelance book reviewer because he had used AI, which ended up plagiarizing a Guardian book review from a few weeks previous. A New York Times, a really well-known, renowned book reviewer, like, at the privilege to be able to review books for the New York Times, and he used a language model. He has said that he used it clumsily and without knowing properly what to do, and he ends up plagiarizing one of his fellow colleagues from a few weeks previously.
Final thing, a Dublin, an Irish rubber duck has been found 20 years after it was part of a world records attempt, and it was discovered in where? Orkney, was it?
Yeah, this is weird though, because it's a 2006 event. So how is that 20 years ago? The world record duck race, yeah. Ireland from 2006. We set off 150,000 ducks to try and break a world record.
Rubber, it should be said.
Sorry.
Not live.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Just to be clear.
Probably something you might not be able to do now is, like, setting off 150,000 plastic ducks seems like something we environmentally consciously shouldn't do. But yeah, found in Orkney, Laguvlin Bay, on the island of Islay. And a 12-year-old German boy and his little sister Hannah spotted the rubber duck, cleaned it up, were absolutely delighted. And now it's going home with them to be part of their play in at bath time, their father said.
Can I give you a book recommendation?
Yes, please.
It's slightly obscure. It is a book called Moby Duck. And it's the story of a container load of ducks that fell off a container ship in, I think, the mid-90s. But there was about 40,000 of them. And the way they travelled the planet led oceanographers to a totally new understanding of ocean currents. It's, you wouldn't think it, but it's highly entertaining.
So it was good for the environment. We found out some.
In a convoluted way. Sinead, thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you very
Sinead
much.
O'Carroll, editor of the Journal. 53106 if you want to get in touch, or 087 1400 106.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage. In association with AIR. Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.